Thanks so much for joining us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're going to be taking a look at your computer today, and we're also going to be talking about streaming and all the various streaming services that exist that you might use in your computer or your smartphone, lots of different places. Jesse LeGru back with us today from Madison College's Technology Services Group, and he'll be answering your questions, telling us more about streaming as we move along. But we're going to stream first to Mike Crane, director of Wisconsin Public Radio, because this is an important day. It's the final day of our drive. Your support is so important. It powers the programs that keep you in the know and entertained.
And that's how WPR works. The people who use it are the largest source of funding for it. And you know, you've been meaning to give. We really would like you to do it now, because today is the last day of the drive, and it's easy to get in touch. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We heard from lots of people.
About 25 people.
Mm-hmm. in the last hour of the show. But right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match, and it's a big match. It's up to $8,000. A very generous match. It comes from current members, including a 9XM Leadership Circle member from Middleton. And it means that they'll match every dollar you give, up to $8,000.
And that's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Now is a tremendously great time for you to make that pledge. Help us to reach that $8,000 match. Double your support for the programs you love at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you think about public radio, I think, what does it mean? I think it means listener-supported radio.
That's right. And while we do appreciate and count on business contributions and federal and state dollars, listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR. Make your contribution right now during this dollar-for-dollar match at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Many listeners become donors out of a sense of shared commitment, I think, because you think of WPR as a resource that should be available to everybody, and because you yourself have been getting value out of it over the past year or two, or like me, a whole lot more than that. It's time to put something back, isn't it?
That's right. Make a donation, and sure, do it for yourself, but also do it for the community. The amount is up to you. The important thing is that you participate by making your pledge of $10 or $20 or $30 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have an exciting drawing this drive. Pledge any amount and you could win a $500 gift card for a grocery store near you. You'll have five chances to win. There's a lot of good stuff you could buy with $500.
I would probably end up buying beer and candy, but my wife would make me buy meat and vegetables.
I feel like I would get something that's semi-non-perishable, only because I like to have a fully stocked snack drawer at work.
A lot of cheese. A lot of Gruyere, a lot of blue, a lot of washed rind.
Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Find all the grocery card giveaway rules and details at WPR.org/drawing. You can't win if you don't enter, so make your pledge of any amount right now. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Mike Crane. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for our programs, the ones you rely on, and that's why your support during this drive is so important. And maybe your gift is $10 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
That's right. We know you value your time, and we value your time too. So we've made giving to WPR something that just takes a few minutes. We need to know things you already know. Your name, your contact information. Maybe you need to decide how much you want to give. We'll go ahead and decide that, and then tell us how you'd like to pay.
Very quick and easy to do, and your gift right now really helps. So just take a few minutes to support the station you count on. How do you do that? Well, you go to WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552.
I'm going to bet there's someone on the phone right now or looking at WPR.org, but on the chart here, we still see the opportunity for an $8,000 match, a dollar-for-dollar match that's in effect We need your help to reach that. So make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support for WPR will go twice as far.
And, of course, that added bonus for supporting the programs you love. Your donation enters you in a drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. You just heard about that. You'll have five chances to win. Think about what you'd, how you'd spend that $500. And while you're doing that, get on the phone maybe and phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Or you can do it at WPR.org. And by the way, if you're a sustainer, those of you making ongoing monthly gifts are automatically entered.
Larry, I see the tally. We now have that first member challenge in the challenge. They're making a contribution. Reach that dollar-for-dollar, $8,000 match with your pledge right now. I know we want to get to the conversation with Jesse. Just this quick thanks to Christine from Wausau, who says, I love listening to Larry Mueller.
Oh, thank you so much, Christine. And thank you if you've already contributed. If you haven't contributed yet, do it now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 as we turn our attention to Jesse LeGrue. Jesse's been with us a number of times. Great, always great to have him come by. He's an information security architect. He's in Madison College's Technology Services Group. What does that all mean? Well, he works with designing, developing, and implementing security standards and protocols. So we're going to talk streaming with him a bit, but we'll also take your other computer-related issues and questions at 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas at WPR.org. And Jesse, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
It's good to be here.
Streaming. Before we talk about streaming devices and all the services, let's talk about what streaming really is. Just explain it for us.
So you can kind of look at it, stepping back, as a traditional way to look at media is simply viewing it when it plays. So whether it's a TV show, whether it is radio, you are at the, you know, the whims of the schedulers, and you are just watching something. You know, Wednesday at 8 p.m., I need to watch the same thing every time, and I need to make sure that I'm there for that. Streaming kind of takes that and flips it over where you can really stream media whenever you want. Usually whatever you want based on your own schedule. So you're purchasing shows, series, movies, or other media and allowing yourself to listen or watch that on your own schedule. So you're basically scheduling everything else around your life and streaming it instead of being slave to the various schedules out there.
So I can see why it's popular. I mean, for that makes a lot of sense to me, just how you described it. And it's what about expense? Is it expensive?
It can be relatively inexpensive, and in many cases even free. There are a lot of streaming services out there, depending on what you would like to watch or listen to, that you can actually take advantage of anywhere in the world, completely free, depending on the type of device you have or how you'd like to take advantage of that. And it could be a web browser on your computer, whether it's a desktop or a laptop. It could be on a mobile device. And sometimes it's also broadcast in a variety of different ways. So you have a lot of options. It always just depends on what kind of content. And that's where a lot of the different services kind of come into play, which have a variety of price points. But it always depends on what you're really looking to delve into.
So, you know, for some people, just figuring out how to get it. I mean, there are so many application apps out there. How do you figure out what to get?
That's actually a very, very difficult question. So there's a lot of variety of what you can do out there. And sometimes you actually don't know you like something until you've embraced it a little bit and listened to it or watched it. So, you know, one thing I'd recommend for anyone is if you have free trials, try them. Take a look at the content, understand what's available, and use that to make a decision.
everyone has different needs, but they also, you know, would like different content. They would like to view it in different ways. Maybe people don't have a smart TV, so it's really important they can get to it on their mobile device. Think about those little things throughout your life, how you want to take in that media. And that'll help at least propel in the right direction. Another good question might be, how do I not want to look at media? So if you want to have limitations on yourself in terms of how you're using it, that can also inform, you know, what decisions you want, because there's just so many ways to take advantage of it.
Jason in Menominee, Michigan has a question I think that may relate to this. Jason, hi.
Hi. Hi, Larry. Hi, guest. Thanks. I bought a movie, so I bought it on Amazon, and I'm able to watch it on my smart TV, but I also have a Chromebook that I would like to watch it on, but I think, I don't know if that's possible, because it's not an Android, I don't think. I guess I knew that in the back of my mind, but I guess I didn't make that connection, and I don't know if it's possible to watch this, the digital copy even, on the Chromebook, and I guess that's my question.
That's actually a very good question. I was originally thinking for standard other Google devices or Android-based phones, you can usually download the Amazon Prime application, which allows you to stream video. You can also usually stream that content using a web browser, and on a Chromebook, it's a little bit different because it does have different capabilities. It looks like it should function as long as you do have the latest Chrome browser extension for viewing that content. And it's a Google Play movie and TV extension. So if you're actually in Chrome, you're going to be looking for a Google Play extension for Chrome on your Chromebook, and you should be able to view that content. So the answer is yes. You have to make sure to use that Play Movie extension with your Chromebook.
Jason, does that help out?
Well, yeah. I was looking for Prime through Google Play, but that's not available. So now I know I need, that helps. Thank you.
Yeah. Right. And if you look for, and it might be also listed as Amazon Video, most of the different applications, whether you're shopping with Amazon or viewing video content, it always starts with Amazon. So if you just search for Amazon, it will give you different options. On my Android device, I believe it's Amazon Video. And that will kind of give you the interface you need, not only to view, but also to potentially purchase content.
Jason, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. So these devices, they're not, or are they difficult to install? We just had a question about.
They can be complicated or they can be really easy. A lot of the services now, whether it's Netflix, Hulu, there are applications on your various devices, whether it's an iOS device such as an Apple laptop or an iPhone or an Android device, as most people have a cell phone. You can actually download applications, you sign into it, and from there, it's pretty easy to navigate. Each service is going to be a little bit different. Where it gets a little bit more complicated, and this is where you have the variety of ways you can view the content, on devices where you have an application, it's easy. But when you're using something that is helping to bridge this vast landscape, yeah, and then your other device that does not support that kind of content. So, for example, a standard TV that's non-smart. You don't have applications built in. You can't install it. They have what they usually call sticks. They're standalone devices that can connect to your wireless network, and they have those applications to help you connect that video streaming service via the internet onto your TV. It could be a PC or Mac display. Sometimes those can be a little bit more cumbersome because you have to set up the wireless network. When you have a computer with a full display and a keyboard, it's pretty easy to interact with it. When you have another device that requires you to, you know, view a display and kind of turn around here and there to read what you're doing, It can be a little bit more cumbersome, yeah. Especially if you have a really complicated wireless network or a very complicated password. It takes time to type that in. And I've had that with a variety of different wireless devices. So it can be a little bit more challenging in those cases. But if you do have it integrated with your TV, it does help out significantly. But there's a lot of benefits to doing it in different ways.
Jesse LeGrew, our guest today, talking with him about streaming and, of course, answering your computer-related questions as well. It was kind of interesting as he was talking about it can how complicated it can be. One of the things that I know that isn't very complicated at all is contributing during our spring membership drive. Larry Mueller, Mike Crane joins us again, and we don't have much longer to ask for your support. Listener support is the largest source of funding for the programs you love. And that's why your gift right now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552 is so important. And we've got that a good match coming
up here. Yeah, dollar for dollar match up to $8,000. We've matched almost 1,000 so far. That's really terrific. But how about you? Can you get in with your contribution of $100 or $300 or $500? Whatever amount works for you. $5 works. It just matters that you participate. Thanks to some members of our 9XM Leadership Circle, including a member from Middleton and other members, they've made their pledge to inspire you to make your pledge and to double the amount of money paying for the program. So take advantage of the match right now with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Kind of funny, we were talking about the various connections you need to get onto streaming and so forth. Well, the Ideas Network is all about connections, as a matter of fact. You connect with news, information from around Wisconsin. You connect with guests and other listeners near and far.
That's right, and these connections can happen because members step up and fund them by becoming members of WPR. The Ideas Network is listener-supported radio, so that's where you come in. Make everything you value on the Ideas Network possible when you give and get that dollar-for-dollar match at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And our monthly giving program is becoming more and more popular. In fact, we have more than 24,000 sustainers who make those ongoing monthly gifts. And that number, Mike's growing every day.
That's right. It's really convenient. How about giving it a try? We think you'll like it. You've heard mm-hmm. the testimonials from sustainers who feel really great about setting up their monthly amount to come from their bank or credit card account. And then it automatically renews. You don't have to remember. It's really easy to get started with a gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The WPR t-shirt has become an annual tradition. Don't miss the 2019 t-shirt offered this drive. What does this year's t-shirt look like?
I love it. It's every part of Wisconsin. You've got your rural, you've got your city, you've got nature. It's perfect.
It looks like one of my favorite kinds of artwork, which is linoleum block cut.
I feel transported into a work of art.
Ask for your WPR t-shirt now. Give $10 a month or make a one-time gift of $120. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Mike Crane. And we've got actually that t-shirt's colorful this year. We're not gray. Mm-hmm. We're sort of a burgundy color. And it's your way to, you know, if you contribute at least $120, your support during this membership drive will land you a t-shirt. And it also makes the programs you rely on possible. So $10, $20 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And those dollars will add up pretty fast with your help. And we got to remind you, we have this dollar-for-dollar match in place up to $8,000. We've raised just under $1,500 so far. So how about making your contribution right now? Thanks to that 9XM Leadership Circle member from Middleton and other members who put this challenge together. They want to inspire you to support Wisconsin Public Radio, so double the impact of your gift right now by making your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552.
And this is the last day of our spring membership drive. It ends at 7 p.m. Your financial support during this hour is so important, especially with the challenge grant we have. It really is going to help the drive end successfully. And so the gift is a big part of what makes this program and all the programs you rely on and enjoy possible on WPR. So take action right now. Make your gift at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. We still have that dollar-for-dollar match well in effect. We're up to $2,800, though, Mike.
All right, let's keep going. 1-800-888, right? That's an old gear there. 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
Give right now. And let's turn our attention to Jesse LeGrew, once again, Information Security Architect at Madison College's Technology Services Group. Always fun to talk with him. If you have a computer concern, maybe a question about streaming, I hope you'll join in. Lots of open lines will get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And we did have an email that I wanted to mention, Terry and Robert's email. And she says, I've been watching Amazon Pride for Prime for a few years on Roku TV, but now it won't load and just defaults back to the main screen. I've tried installing it without any luck at all, or reinstalling, I guess I should say. Hasn't had any luck at all. Any ideas?
Probably the... outside of contacting Roku directly, one thing I'd probably recommend would be potentially resetting the device to default. Most devices will have either a set of buttons you can push in a certain way to fully reset the device, and doing that in addition to making sure you have the latest updates and then attempting to reinstall may help the situation.
So there we go. Our guest today, once again, Jesse LeGrew, Information Security Architect at Madison Colleges. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Taking your calls now as we talk with Jesse LeGrew about your computer and about streaming. Peggy in Grantsburg, we'll go to you. Thank you for calling.
Yes, I had a question about gigabyte speed and what you need for, what kind of minimums you need for streaming. And also about accessibility in the rural areas, because obviously we don't have all of the internet providers that you have in the cities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good questions.
And for the speed, normally a recommendation is about 3 megabits per second. The faster speed you have, the better. You know, you're going to be able to view the content a little bit sooner without waiting for all of the buffering and downloading of the content to happen in the background. If you are, you know, streaming high definition content, they recommend 5 megabits or even up to 25 megabits for 4K streaming. But then it always comes down to, well, where do I get that fast internet? And depending on rural areas, it can be a large challenge. A couple things I've heard in the past that people have used, there's a variety of cellular capabilities where you can use cellular hotspots from a variety of vendors, whether it's Sprint, Verizon, T-Mobile, or you can also get different wireless options. Usually it's going to be some type of wireless option for a rural community if you don't have cable or DSL, because DSL is very location specific. So the further away you are, the slower that speed gets. Cable might be a possibility, but even then it always depends on where they have that infrastructure. So for many, using a wireless or a cellular option is something at least to look into to see if it works and to see if you can get a trial. And you might be able to do that from a variety of different cellular, you know, vendors or manufacturers.
And somebody said, what's a hotspot?
And a hotspot is really basically, you know, people use their cell phone to browse the web. If they don't have wireless, they're using a cellular network. A hotspot is basically turning that cell phone into a Wi-Fi network so you can connect a device like it's a wireless network that is actually using cellular in the back end to connect to the internet. So it basically is your bridge between wireless connectivity of your laptop or other device to a cellular network. It also could be cabled. It doesn't have to be wireless. You can plug into a hotspot as well. But it's really to get the internet, usually over a cellular network.
All right. Peggy, I hope that helps. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Joe in Madison, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Joe.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I partitioned a hard drive on one of my computers. It's an IdeaPad. And I installed Linux on one of the partitions. And I can't access that partition anymore. When I sign into the Windows partition, I now see that the D drive is titled I think it's titled Lenovo, which should be the backup drive for the Windows side. But how do I get access to that the partition that should still be
should
sitting
still
there
be there. Yeah.
Was the partition that should still be there, was that the Linux partition?
Yeah.
So there's a couple of ways to go about it. Having any kind of dual or multi-boot system can be a challenge. The biggest thing is having a bootloader that helps you to get from one operating system to the next, usually in a pretty simple menu. If you need to get the data, because you might actually want to reformat or redesign the system a little bit, depending on how things go, you might be able to fix it. One thing that I've found really useful is what they call live CDs or live DVDs. Do you have a CD-ROM or DVD drive on your system?
That's the thing I don't like about these newer computers. They don't have that, no.
I have a solution for that, too. Do you have a USB port?
Sure, and I've got a couple USB USB dongles that have a Linux distro on them.
Have you been able to boot to any of those to try and access the data on your hard drive?
If I did try, I was unsuccessful.
Okay. So in this case, there's a couple recommendations I would have. One would be potentially plugging the hard drive that you have in your system into something like an external hard drive enclosure. Unfortunately, that takes some knowledge to take the system apart physically and take that hard drive out. Is that something you've done in the past or anything you'd even feel comfortable doing?
Yeah, I'm comfortable doing that. I've never worked on these like computers like 4 years old, which is pretty new for me. I'm not familiar with what the newer hard drives look like. It is still a HDD, not an SD, but I can do that.
Because you might be able to boot up with a flash drive or even plug that external hard drive into a different system to read the data, whether it's Mac OS or Windows or even a different Linux system. There are basically these hard drive adapters that you can buy online just about anywhere, and they also do have in a lot of stores like Best Buy. So if you have any kind of store that sells computer components, you can actually take that hard drive that's in your laptop and basically turn it into a flash drive. Yeah. So you can plug it into a different computer and access the content. And at least that would help to potentially get the data off. It may also help in fixing the bootloader, and I would research a little bit about what bootloaders are and which ones are used for various versions of Linux and Windows, because there are some that are a lot more work than others, and some that are very much more straightforward. But I'd recommend if you are concerned with the data, try that to at least get some data backed up, and then potentially reformat the system. But if you haven't had success booting up from those other USB drives, I would also check on your system. Usually when it boots up, they have hit F2, hit delete to enter the BIOS. And that's the setup page where you can set the time. You can also set how the system boots. And in this case, what the system boots from. And if the USB drive or USB ports are not enabled or they're not set in the right order, you might not actually be able to boot from those USB drives. So those are a couple things I would recommend checking. Worst case, if you just need to get the data off, get an external hard drive adapter, plug that hard drive in, find another system, plug it in, and you can at least interact with the data. But when the hard drive's out of the system, then you plug in a flash drive into your computer and try to boot it. Since it won't have anything else to boot from, if that USB was in the last item on the list, but it's still enabled as a boot device, you might find that it actually boots from one of those external drives, and then you can plug in the other drive. So there's a few different recommendations. It always depends on your comfort with taking a computer apart. But if you do like doing this, having any of those external hard drive enclosures or adapters are really useful for situations like this. And it gives you some flexibility to test and develop in different ways as well.
There you go, Joe. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. We had an email from Kim in Browntown. Has a very old iBook from 2001. And when I leave it charging, it seems to get hot. She says, almost too hot to touch. Is there a safety issue? Any suggestions?
And it's possible there's a safety issue. Some devices just really do get hot, and it's actually, pretty standard. The best way to know whether it's too hot for your device is probably to actually call up the manufacturer, or even go to a qualified repair location, and they can tell you, at least, is this normal for my device?
Yeah, sure.
It may still be too warm for you or too warm to touch, but if it's at least a deviation from kind of the known standard, it'll at least give you that idea. But some devices do get really hot just based on, a variety of components, and they also do have, if you have a laptop, a cooling, kind of like a little cooling bed you can kind of put on your lap or put in other places that helps to dissipate the heat. Yeah. So it acts as a heat sink to kind of move that heat away. But if you want to know if it's normal, go in a repair shop, contact a manufacturer. They can at least let you know. Because if it's not normal, they can at least give you recommendations for what to do next, how to get that resolved.
Jesse LeGrew, our guest today, great to have him come by, and certainly thank you so much for listening in on this last day of our spring membership drive. Mike Crane joins us once again. I'm Larry Mueller, and your contribution keeps the program and WPR strong. And $10 a month, $100 a month, every gift in any amount makes a big difference, because the largest share of our funding comes from people just like you. So donate right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And Mike, we still have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect?
We do, and people are excited by it, which is terrific. And we hope you'll be excited, too, by joining the people from our 9XM Leadership Circle, including someone from Middleton, who put together this challenge to get you to pledge right now on this, the last day of our pledge drive. So take advantage of this dollar-for-dollar match right now by making your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, Jesse LeGrew comes by every couple of months to talk with us about computer problems. He tries to deal with your computer and your software issues, and I know he's helped a lot of people over the time that he's been here. He's been doing this for quite a while now, and I think it's a wonderful service that we try to provide during this program, and we are listener supported, and that means when you give, you're supporting this program and all the programs that you've come to enjoy. So I hope you'll choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and then make your gift at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
So Larry, maybe we can help people figure out how much works for them. Here's an example. I'm drinking a cup of coffee I just bought across the street. It cost me more than $3.
And
I'm enjoying it, but that's, it's pretty typical for coffee to cost you $1.50, $3, whatever. That's a couple of dollars a day. Add that up and maybe, once in a while, let go of a cup of coffee. That'd probably be good for you. And then make that the pledge amount for you on a daily basis. It's easy to spend that kind of money on something that's part of your daily routine.
Yeah, a cup of coffee or two is part of my daily routine as well. And maybe as you listen to Mike and I talk, you might think, well, Wisconsin Public Radio is part of my daily routine. It's your daily news source, your conversation starter, your place to learn. So spend some money on it today and every day. Start with a dollar a day. That's $30 a month or so, at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Lance from Madison.
And I'm Cheryl.
When did we become sustaining members? Cheryl, I'm trying to remember. It's been quite a while.
I would recommend it because it's so simple to do. We have an electronic funds transfer done. It's easy to change that annually if you need to. It's something that you don't have to think about. I can just think, okay, that's taken care of. And we feel like we're doing the right thing by supporting something we use a lot. WPR is something we really believe in. We want it to continue, so we want to support it.
Consider becoming a sustainer with a regular monthly gift. Visit WPR.org to get started now.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Mike Crane. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And maybe your contribution is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. We certainly have people who are contributing $100 a month. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
Well, and I'm talking about appreciation, thanks to Amanda from Horicon, who says, I love WPR. It is so informative and interesting. Thank you. Thank you, too. And, you know, the supporting of things that you count on, that you find meaningful or informative, that's important. And Wisconsin Public Radio is one of those things. You get information about events in our region and around the world. You get music and humor and storytelling and great conversations.
Yeah, you'll want a lot of news and information in the coming year for sure. And your support now is going to make that possible. Make a difference at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 with your gift. In the amount that's right for you.
We have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now. We've raised just over $5,400 so far. We have a lot of room yet because the match is for up to $8,000. So get in touch right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support will go twice as far.
And as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, your donation enters you in a drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. You'll have five chances to win. Give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And if you're a sustainer, somebody making monthly gifts ongoing, you're automatically entered.
So I'm looking forward to more with Jesse. Let's go, eh, Larry?
Yeah, we'll get to Jesse in just a second, but let's find out something else first. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Jesse LeGrue, information security architect at Madison College's Technology Services Group. Great to have him back. We'll take some calls. Lots of folks online. Darlene in Tomahawk, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. The reason I was calling is quite often when I'm scanning through media sites, I keep getting messages that Internet Explorer is getting obsolete and to update to a different browser. Now, I'm still on Windows 7, which I still love, but when I tried going into Firefox, all of a sudden I lost all of my favorite bookmarks, so then I restored and came back to Internet Explorer. What can I do to not lose my bookmarks, even though I know 7 is going to be going obsolete too in about a year?
It's a really good question. There are a couple different solutions. You actually could use Firefox and import those settings from Internet Explorer. You can also do the same thing with Google Chrome. One other option is actually what they call Microsoft Edge browser, which is a new updated browser that should be available for Windows 7. And it should be able to bring in that content as well. So you can use a variety of different browsers. Most of them are actually going to have a variety of ways to import your settings. And if you ever do take a look at Firefox or still have it on your system, if you actually go to bookmarks, they do have a library option where you can actually import data from a different browser, whether it's from Google Chrome, whether it's from Internet Explorer, or from any other system browser that you might have. So you can get the data from Internet Explorer into Chrome or into Firefox, if you go through a couple steps, normally it will ask you the very first time you load that browser, would you like me to import any data for you? The downside is if you ever say no, it never asks you again. So you'll have to actually potentially hit a few buttons and manually import that data. But you can do that with your homepage and a lot of other settings that you already have in Internet Explorer. So that's an option. Or you can download the Microsoft Edge browser, and it should be updated by Microsoft for Windows 7 as it's still supported.
All right. There we go, Darlene. Thank you very much for calling. Dan in Menominee, your turn now. Hi, Dan.
Hi there. So I have sort of a what-if question for you.
Okay.
Let's just say that I'm using an old, out-of-date browser that's not secure. If somebody compromises my browser and, like, say, gets into my Roku account, is there any way they could use that to do anything malicious to a smart device, a smart TV? I mean, beyond just messing with my channel list. Or is that kind of impossible? And on the flip side, have there ever been cases of people gleaning enough information from a smart device to get into and compromise somebody's accounts online?
So for the first question, could you use your, you know, your cloud-based account to hack a device you have at home? And for most of these, usually the answer is no. So for a device such as, let's say it's a Vue. So I'm not sure if that's Sony, but they have Vue light bulbs, which you can control via your smartphone and have a lot of different settings for. Normally, that communicates with the hub you have at home, and that communicates out from your home to a cloud resource, whatever company or manufacturer service that you're paying for. You interact with that cloud service via your account to set certain settings, but you're never actually directly communicating with the devices at home. Usually, the device is simply going out to check what settings you stored in that cloud service. So most of the time, people aren't remotely accessing your network. It just happens that your local network's viewing a repository that you're modifying in the same physical space, but it happens to be somewhere else. So usually for that first question, can they use that to hack your device? Usually not. You'd still need physical access to your network or a different type of remote access into your home network. Usually it's not going to be through any kind of cloud-based service such as whether it's a home automation product or something else. So usually I'd say the answer is no. It would be an unusual setup if they're doing it in a way where it's directly, remotely connecting to your home network.
Yeah.
That's very, very unusual. And most of the items you have at home, like a standard router, are going to block all that stuff anyway. They won't let any communication try to get into your network without your permission. And by default, it blocks all that. So I generally say no.
All right.
For the second question, which I think was, can you... If somebody compromised your account, could they get, you know, data using these devices to get in, break into other accounts? In theory, I guess that's a possibility. If you do manage to have that access where you can view a repository of all these smart devices, it's theoretically possible, but you'd have to be at the right point at the right time, because if they're using that to break into other pieces of your life or your other accounts, you have to somehow have that data put out there. And over what span of time are you doing it? Most people aren't going to be listening to, let's say you have microphones that are connected to the internet in your house. Most people are going to be listening through everything. So they're not going to be able to hit that 1-2 second block where you happen to give information. It's a possibility if you do break into, if your information is broken into, there's a possibility, but it always depends on kind of what service you're using. So always know what your devices are tracking, what data is going to these various vendors, and based on that, it kind of determines where that risk might be and whether you trust the company to really hold your data.
All right. There we go, Dan. Thank you. And David in Slinger, your turn. Hi, David.
I have first a quick comment and then a question, both related to Macintosh computers. I have a couple of iMacs at home, and I got some diagnostic software. I found out through Apple that I didn't really need to do that. I can
restart the computer holding down the D key for a diagnostic, and Apple has a built-in diagnostic thing. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
The question I have is that I have iCloud, and I have a network at home. The main router is downstairs, and I have a node to extend the network upstairs. I have an iMac in the kitchen for like recipes and just quick check of things. A couple of laptops. We're over the top on electronics, but upstairs is the main iMac. It acts kind of like a file server, so I try to have every file go through that, and it's linked to iCloud, or supposed to. About a week or so ago, I started noticing that things that I put in there do not show up in iCloud. However, on the when I try to get to my documents, it says I'm going through iCloud, if that makes sense. And I can't figure out what's going on. I checked to make sure that I'm logged in to the right iCloud. I only have one. And they all seem to work well. Somebody said it's because the computer downstairs is got a lot of data on it. It's about 12%, only got about 12% disk space left. So,
yeah. So
there are a couple of things I'd recommend, at least on both computers. It sounds like one might be syncing, one might not be. I would just check, at least on both computers, just to verify that network connectivity, the general internet functions. I'd also recommend actually logging into iCloud via the web interface. So actually going to, I think it's just iCloud.com, logging in with your Apple ID and password, and seeing what you see there. Because that will also tell you what devices are connecting, what devices are syncing, and really what that data looks like. It could simply be that you might want to update the iCloud software, or you need to disconnect and reconnect your device, which you can do from the iCloud webpage as well, because they do have, at least I believe, a device limit too. You have 5 devices. So I would take a look at the web interface and see how things are working there, as long as your general internet's functioning on all of those computers.
And thanks for calling, David. Jesse LeGrew, our guest today. Mike Crane joins us here for the last few minutes, 3 or 4 minutes of our drive here to at least get our dollar for dollar match in as we enter this last day, or we're already in it, of our drive. Listener support, the largest piece of funding here, so I hope your gift right now, any amount, $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and still a few bucks left.
Yeah, we are getting close to that dollar-for-dollar match being a success, but that means there's still room for you to get in. It's so easy to get in touch. It takes just a minute of your time, and we ask for information you already know, like your name and how much you'd like to give. So get in touch at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Having fun talking today with Jesse LeGrew, who comes by every couple of months to talk about computer issues. Always great to have him here. He supports public radio with the time that he gives, and probably contributes as well to the various drives that we have. We're really listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple minutes and make your gift.
And maybe it'll work best for you to do it month by month. A lot of people are doing that with all kinds of subscriptions, whether it's Netflix or Hulu or Spotify or whatever that might be. How about WPR? You get such great, valuable information. So become a monthly giver. We call that a sustainer, by making a pledge using your credit card, or we can do that with your bank account, and then it will continue as long as you'd like.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
We've probably all had this happen. We spend money on something and then hardly ever use it.
I would say closets and closets full of clothes that I never wore.
I bought a pair of backcountry skis a few years ago that I have never used.
I bought an extremely cheap violin case that was so cheap that I threw it away within 10 minutes of opening it.
Unlike some investments, your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio is a good one. One you'll get value from every day. Make your gift to support the programs you count on right now. Here's how.
Just give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make that contribution. Larry Mueller here with Mike Crane. Listener support is so important. It's the biggest source of funding for our programs, the ones you rely on. And that's why your support now is so important. So a gift of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Larry, this has been an exciting hour. We've been talking about this dollar-for-dollar match from a 9XM Leadership Circle member in Middleton and some other members. And we have just crossed the $8,000 mark. That
All
was
right.
the goal for that. So thank you to the 59 pledges so far this hour. A very exciting way for us to get close to the end of the pledge drive, which is later today. So get in touch right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you so much if you've already contributed. If you haven't, we still have, some needs, some financial needs, and I hope you'll help us out. If you haven't supported us yet, I hope you'll do it right now with your gift. How do you do it? Well, you can go online to WPR.org or you can phone 888-202-2552. I want to give a big thanks to everybody who's contributed during the entire drive, but especially during this last hour. It was so wonderful to reach our goal, but you know what? There's another goal coming up in a few minutes. So contribute now if you haven't done it already. Great to have you along here on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller. My guest today, Jesse LeGru, Information Security Architect in Madison College's Technology Services Group. Great to have him back. Certainly, if you have a question about your computer, your software, maybe a question about streaming, I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. And we have lots of open lines to get you on pretty quickly. Ron in La Crosse, thank you, though, for waiting. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just bought a new digital analog converter. Brand name is Turk, T-E-R-K. But they're talking that you can control it using a USB driver to, shift programming around. And I just wonder if your guests know when they say USB driver, they mean like from a computer, or is it maybe a separate component I'd have to buy?
And at least as far as I understand, most likely it would be a specific piece of software on a computer so you can interface with the device itself. I haven't used any of these converters, at least in the past, but many times from the vendor, and it could be in this case from Turk, you would actually, usually they have it directly on their website, and you can download a driver and you can plug it into your computer and interface with it, depending on how, exactly that works. But I've used it for USB to serial adapters and other things in the past.
There you go, Ron. Does that help?
Well, I hope so, yeah. I'll see if the instructions say there's anything you have to download.
Okay, good enough. Thank you very much for calling. Joan emailed, she has an HP Envy printer and larger. When she prints from her phone, it has started printing in a very large font. She says, also, when I capture a picture, it enlarges the image, which cuts the outer third of the image. Thanks for any idea. She can't figure out what the heck's going on. And I can't either.
Normally, so there's a few things I'm thinking of. Most of the time when you print, it doesn't usually have a scaling in terms of, is it 100% scale or do you zoom up or zoom down? Although I would check If it does have scale, if it does show zoom in or zoom out, because at least looking on a browser, it does have a scale, which is in percentages. Mine's at 100, which means actual size. It could be that the default somehow got changed. And when you do use a specific program in print, it usually keeps the very last setting you specified. So if for whatever reason it got overwritten or mistyped, it's going to keep that setting until maybe you restart your computer or until you actually change it. Another potential solution is to turn off your printer, unplug it from your computer, delete your printer on your computer. Usually if it's a Windows computer, it's going to be in control panel, devices and printers. Then plug it back in. It will reinstall and redetect. Usually when it does that, it's also going to also reset all of those defaults. So if a different setting got out of whack for whatever reason, hopefully it would help do that as well.
That's a good idea. I think that'll work. And we had a Madison listener and a member who emailed, I have a bunch of old computer manuals, like the IBM Windows for WordPerfect. I plan to recycle them, the listener says, unless you know of an organization or individuals who would have use for them.
Oh, that's a really good question. I'm guessing there are some people out there. I know a lot of people who love to collect old things, including old technology. There might be people out there that would be interested. The only thing I could recommend in terms of finding one of those people could be anywhere on social media. You could also donate them to different locations like Goodwill, because you can, you know, people will look at those areas to find some of these pieces of memorabilia, I guess.
Yeah.
So that could be an option. You could do some outreach. There's not one great place that I can recommend. Somebody's probably very interested in it. It's going to be difficult to find them, probably. Yeah. The best thing you can do is put them in a location where they're probably already looking to find that stuff.
Yeah, makes good sense. Well, let's take another call. By the way, you can join in at 800-642-1234. Give a call. Dave, it's your turn next. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Every time I keep up my...
Oh, we could hear you, but now we can't, Dave. Every time he goes on his laptop and he gets on Yahoo to read email, less than 30 seconds later, it times out. So he's got...
So there could be a variety of things at play. I would look at basically any other website. Do you have the same situation?
Yeah.
Is it specific to Yahoo Mail, or is it specific to your internet or to your web browser? One thing you might want to try is actually downloading a completely different web browser than what you use today. Log into Yahoo Mail, see how it works. If it works differently, it'll at least tell you whether it's the web browser or if it's something else. If you get the same experience and everything else on your computer works fine, there might be something weird with Yahoo Mail. There might be something weird with your email account itself. And then you might actually want to reach out in some capacity to Yahoo to see if there's some kind of support, although I believe it would be pretty difficult. Another thing you can do is just use a different computer, go to a library, go to anywhere where there's a kiosk, log into your Yahoo Mail. Also, if you see a difference in behavior there or not, it at least tells you, is it my user account or not? Is it my internet connection or not? Or is it my web browser? So try a different browser, see if it works better. If things still seem to react the same, try a different computer. And if you can, try a different computer actually at home using your same internet connection. All of those will at least help you narrow down where the issue might be. But if you are having fine access for other internet usage, it kind of makes me point to your Yahoo account specifically, or maybe the Yahoo service. Maybe they're having issues. But, you know, digging in a little bit more and testing will give you more details.
Yeah, there's a little bit of testing involved there yet. Thanks so much for that question. And again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. Streaming devices, back to them for just a minute before we take another call here. Somebody was wondering about good ones for watching sports. Do you have any advice on that?
There are actually quite a few, some of which you usually need to pay for. Sports tends to be a very popular item, and there are a lot of different sports channels.
Yeah.
It always depends kind of what you're looking for. Is it college? Is it professional? Is it football? Is it soccer?
And they're all different, and they all cost you money.
Yep, and usually they cost you money. If you do already have different cable providers, there's like Big Ten TV. I know there's like a Badger Game Day mobile app. There's a lot of other services out there. But a lot of it's really tailored towards what kind of sports you want. If you already have a cable provider, you're most likely going to need to pay for some kind of additional channel or service on top of what you already have. But you can do streaming channels on a variety of devices for different sports or ESPN. So there's a lot of options out there. I would really just want to know, is it a specific sport? If you like all the sports, you're probably going to have a lot of channels. And that's kind of unfortunate, but a lot of them do kind of focus on a general sport.
You know, aside from, well, I couldn't call myself a gamer at all. I mean, I'll play a solitaire once in a great while on my phone. But video gaming has changed a lot over the years. And I imagine streaming has facilitated that a lot.
It has. And every now and again, I play a video game and you have the option of, do I go to the store and purchase it or do I download it at home? Which is a little bit more convenient. I have generally fast internet. I have 100 meg service. Even with that, I can be waiting for 6 hours while it's downloading. And it could be more or less depending on a variety of usages. So it gets a little weird. If you want to play your game right away, you might want to go to a store, get a DVD or a Blu-ray, and take it home, plug it in. You still might have to wait for a while to download for updates and everything else or other content. But there, it opens up a variety of things that you didn't have before. You don't have to wait for a CD or a DVD. You can play it on your computer. You can play it on your other gaming console, whether it's an Xbox or a PlayStation. So it opens up a variety of different ways to interact, but there's a lot of waiting at the same time. But there's a lot of great subscription services, too, just like TV or movies. So you can try different games over time, and it gives you a little bit more flexibility than spending a lot of money on one game and then be kind of stuck with that game. You can kind of move from game to game. So there's a lot of neat things, and some of them you can actually stream the video over the internet connection, which means you're not actually playing the game on your hardware. You're playing it virtually, and you're streaming the video content. So it means you don't necessarily have to have the hardware to do the same thing. And that's how a lot of Flash-based or different games work. Some of them work on the processing of your own device. Some of them can actually be more in the cloud arena by a service provider that's actually doing all of that processing for you and just giving you a visual, really.
What's the range? And I don't play games, and I haven't looked at cost. What's a range for you? You said, you know, you can get an expensive game, but what's the high end? And what's, I guess the low end is free, but what's the highest end on games?
Usually, at least from what I see, if you already have the hardware, it can be up to $50 to $100.
Okay.
For a game that's pretty popular. I'd say $60 seems pretty normal, even on various video consoles or even on like a home computer. But it can go up because they have different packs you can add on to. So they have, it's one thing where you buy a game, but now you're like, hey, you like that game. There's something new you can add to it now, and it's going to cost you $10. And a new thing that's going to cost $10 more. And over time, you might find out that game cost $200 instead of the $50 or $60 you're intending on. But that's the case with a lot of the things we do on a day-to-day basis. We buy one movie, and we find out there's three more, and you invest in the other ones because you liked what you saw the first time.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, $50 or $60, if you're like, I have one friend who actually goes to bed at about 7 o'clock in the evening because he gets up at something like 3:30 in the morning because he plays a game and there are people all over the country and in other parts of the world, actually, that he plays that game with.
Yep, and a lot of those games, too, some of those games are completely free. Some of them you can basically pay to get enhancements. So especially if you're in a competitive with a few friends and you have 5 or 10 people and you're playing this this immersive game that's worldwide, you can pay to basically get a little bit of a boost in that competition, depending on what that is. But a lot of those are free, and, you know, it's nice to have people collaborate, but there are those other monetary items that kind of pop up that you might not expect, but you're, you know, kind of willing to invest.
Jesse LeGrew, our guest today, information security architect in Madison College's Technology Services Group. And, you know, there are some things you can get for free, and then there are some things that you pay for. And then there are some things that, as Jesse was talking about, you can add on even to enhance your listening or your playing. In this case, during our Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive, you can enhance our programming or help enhance our programming with your contribution. And Mike Crane is back with us again to talk about your gift. Any amount makes a difference. We're listener-supported, aren't we, Mike?
That's right. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR, and that means that your support funds this program, The Larry Mueller Show, as well as the other WPR shows you count on. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last hour, we heard from 70 donors.
All right.
Wow. And we raised $9,441. Man, thank you so much for that. Our goal this half hour is 10. So 10 people to join us as members.
And we've got one signed up already. So how about you? Can you make it 9, 8, and so on? You get the idea. WPR is listener-powered, and that means these goals help us to provide the power and stay on track to meeting the goals and buying the programs or paying for them. Do your part now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thinking about some of our regular guests, Jesse LeGrew, for example, is on every couple of months. Peter Green is on the opposite month. It helps us with our computers. P.J. Leash answers your questions about insects. Melinda Myers, a nationally known gardening expert.
What great information you get just listening. You know, you can be doing other things and becoming smarter along the way. Great guests, a great host, bringing you wonderful radio. And it's a real pleasure to have them here. And it's a pleasure when we have the chance to thank you for your contribution. So how about giving now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as a little added extra, we will enter you into a $500 grocery gift card drawing. You'll have 5 chances to win. No contribution is necessary. Actually, you can see all the rules at WPR.org. Better yet, be automatically entered when you make a donation, any amount, right now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
So many of us are proud to be a part of Wisconsin, whether we moved here like I did or we grew up here. And chances are that you understand that Wisconsin Public Radio plays an important part of making Wisconsin what it is. And WPR serves the entire state.
On Wisconsin Public Radio, you get news, you get voices, you get music, and sounds from around the state. And over time, all these broadcasts add up to a very strong sense of connection to the state we call home.
And WPR, the home that we all share, and we're in your home, you know, right by your bedside or in the kitchen or wherever. It's funded in large part by the people of Wisconsin, listeners like you, giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Big thank you to everyone who's contributed during this 90-minute program. WPR is listener-supported, and that means your membership keeps Wisconsin Public Radio strong. I tell you what, we really depend on your help. You decide the amount, for example, $10 or $20 a month, and then just give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I'm John Nevins from Janesville, Wisconsin, and today I'd like to just share a little bit about why public radio means something to me. As a young boy, I listened to the radio quite a bit because we didn't have television. And I remember laying many times on a Saturday morning in front of the radio and listening to the programming and imagining that I was with the Lone Ranger or with whoever it was that was on the radio. And my parents forbid me to listen to the Green Hornet, but we used to sneak off and do it anyway.
He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America.
Today I don't have to sneak off at all. I listen to it daily in the kitchen as I fix breakfast in the morning and at noon when I'm fixing dinner. It's a very special part of my life, and I am very, very proud to be a member of WPR and to be here today to share that thanks with the organization.
And you can help too. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Mike Crane. Your support during the spring membership drive makes all of our programs, the ones that you rely on, possible. And your gift, $10, $20 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
Larry, you've got about 4 minutes left in this half hour, and we're looking for 8 more people to join in. Thanks to everybody who's already given.
And if you haven't contributed yet, now is the time to do it at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
You know, when you listen to the Ideas Network, you are becoming a better citizen. You're becoming smarter because you learn things like we've learned today with Jesse. And when you give to Wisconsin Public Radio, you are doubling the good that you do.
That's because we are listener-funded. That means your financial support is what makes this incredible service available to you and to the entire state. So you can do something amazing right now. Help make the Ideas Network possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
So we'll make a lot of suggestions about how much you might like to give, but as the donor, you actually get to decide how much you think WPR is worth to you. And maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
And that might be what you spend every month on going out to dinner, maybe doing some things with friends. Those are things you enjoy, and that makes life better, just like listening to WPR. The important thing is that you decide the amount that's right for you and then make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Well, now we have 7 more to go.
All right, let's keep going, folks. And how about this as an incentive? We have this beautiful new T-shirt printed right here in Wisconsin that shows how WPR is everywhere you are. In town, at home, in the great outdoors, show your WPR pride and ask for that WPR T-shirt when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I do want to thank once again our sustaining members and actually to everybody who's given so far this drive. If you haven't given yet, and you want to do it during this program, you don't have a lot of time left because we're going to have to go away here in a minute or so. You choose the amount. The important thing is to make that commitment right now. Support the programs you count on at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
6 more people to get us to the goal for this half hour, and we have just those couple of minutes. Great thing to do before you go out to lunch is to make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're not a sustainer, you can become one right now. It's easy to set up. You'll make ongoing monthly donations from the bank, from your bank account or from your credit card at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Mike and I have to go away here in just a few seconds, but if you haven't given yet, boy, what a wonderful time to do it. Your gift is so powerful. It really does make a difference. So take a few minutes and go right now to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Thank you so much.